Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
All right, sing along now. You know the words.
Have no place to go.
What do you say?
Have no place to go.
I'm going to need to write this down.
Have no place to go.
I'm not getting it.
Have no place to go.
I'll just move my lips. You do the rest.
Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going.
6:11. Welcome back, Steve. Thanks. It's
Hey, welcome back, Steve.
Oh, thanks, Andre. Happy International Women's Day.
Say thank you. Same to you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I guess that's right.
That's
sure.
Right. Yeah, everyone celebrated. Sure. Everyone is a mom.
How you feeling?
70%.
Good. Well, welcome back.
Thank you, sir. Happy International Women's Day to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Susan, thank you. Happy International Women's Day to you.
Thank you so much.
Mike, happy International Women's Day to you.
Thank you, Steve.
Sandberg, happy International Women's Day.
Cheers.
And in for Dave Bennett, happy International Women's Day to Mark Carman.
Thank you, Steve. Good to see you.
Go Cats.
We go through all the women that Mark Carman dates. That would be International Women's Day.
She only goes till 10.
Ouch.
So, on the program today, before we get to the top six, it's, hey, our friend Lourdes is coming in.
Yeah, Lourdes might have a glitch. Lourdes is going to be with us, but
she does this all the time.
She's going to come in now. And we love Lourdes
not
so
anymore.
Much. I literally just got a text from Lourdes about 5 minutes ago, and she said, hey, they're having us take pictures today, which means I might not be able to drive out there.
Oh.
I can still call in if you guys are still up for it.
Yeah, what a shock.
I said, let me ask.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Put her on the phone.
Let her think for a while. No, we love Lourdes.
Put her on the phone. That's fine. So Lourdes will be on the phone. That's sort of my point.
Exactly.
John O'Hurley is doing a show that he'd like a plug for, and we like John O'Hurley, so he'll be on.
It's a Greek play. It's a Greek movie, too.
It is?
Mm-hmm. Directed by George Stephanopoulos.
Didn't he work enough?
He does.
Okay, Good Morning America, Sunday morning thing. I assume it's another Stephanopoulos.
Honestly, it might be a different Stephanopoulos.
Yeah, I think it might be. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's his cousin.
Is it?
Oh, is it? It's
yeah, that's actual. That's a fact.
They're all cousins.
We are all cousins.
They're all named George.
Yes.
Oprah.
It's Oprah. Brian Campbell after 8 o'clock this morning, and Brent Sopel is doing the Dancing with the Chicago Stars thing.
How about that?
Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
And he'll be in here, so we'll talk to him about it.
I wonder if the moves on the ice will translate to the moves on the dance floor.
Well, in Sopel's case, how much skating does he do anymore? You know?
Yeah.
Lise Glink as well, and Karen Conti. Did I mention that? Coming up. Let's do the top six.
It's time to move on to a little something we call...
The Steve Cochran Show presents the top six at six.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
Six.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is six.
The top six at six on 720 WGN.
Trump care got kind of a lukewarm response from most folks, except for President Trump, who says, fabulous. It's fabulous. It's the greatest thing I've ever seen. Do I like this or do I not like this? Where's Bannon? Tell me if I like this. Trump Care is rolled out and officially will be, it's called marking up the bill, is the next effect. The Senate will probably not pass it. The House probably will. Paul Ryan guarantees they will. One of the problems in it is defunding of Planned Parenthood. And there's a lot of senators who will jump the shark when it comes to that, along with the Medicaid problem. The Medicaid problem is a big deal.
Big, big, big time. I've heard it called Conservacare. I've heard it called a lot of different things, too.
You don't like Trump Care?
A couple days. Trump Care is too much like Obamacare. I think he should come up with his own name.
Orange Care?
Maybe. It's got a better ring.
Because a lot of these health care plans have, you know, Blue Cross, Orange Care.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Put a color in there.
Right.
Next. North Korea shot 3 missiles into the sea, about 18, I guess 24 hours ago. They did share this little nugget with us, which kind of got buried in the news yesterday. They were practice shooting at American bases in Japan. Now, that and previous, You know, listen, I'm 55 years old. I grew up in the 70s. In the old days, that's an act of war.
Mm-hmm.
You start practice shooting at us, we're going to practice shoot back, but we're going to actually hit you. So North Korea has amped up the game. And again, any guy who would feed his uncle to rabid dogs and have his half-brother killed on security camera at the airport in Malaysia by women poisoning him, is he crazy enough to actually start a war? Yeah, he may be.
And the news on this today, Japan is going to ask the Security Council for first strike capability now to hit North Korea before they hit Japan.
And how can you not give it to them?
Yeah.
How can you not? This is where it gets real, kids. And Trumpy better be up for it. Next! Anybody flying soon?
Yeah, I'm flying in about a month.
Anybody else?
I'd like to be. You're going somewhere, aren't you?
Yeah, I got a couple trips, but there's a new TSA pat-down policy.
Oh.
Previously, there were 5 different pat-down policies that they've now incorporated into one.
Mm-hmm.
And people are already complaining about the new TSA pat-down policy because they touch your special parts.
Men and women?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, generally speaking, women take care of women, men take care of men. But if it's busy, you know what I'm saying?
Haven't you ever had a pat-down where you guys have, you know, had it?
Yes. Have I had my junk checked?
Brushed? Yeah.
Yeah. My junk actually sets off the alarm.
Because I've gone through pat-downs. The women pat down the other women's boobs.
Oh, this is the lower parts, though, Andre.
When you get a pat... I know,
well, I think it's both for the girls, right? Yeah. Do they fluff you? Do they give you a little fluffing?
No. I've never had that. Maybe Susan has. I've had the... You know, they pat your boobs. Yeah.
How do they...
Because when they pat you down, you know, they're there.
But do they
they're
go
right
around
there.
The boobs? Do they give you the...
Well,
what do they do?
They kind of go around. No, they don't squeeze them like they're, you know, watermelon, like,
it's
you know,
not,
cantaloupes.
It's not Jewel checking the produce?
No, but, you know, they kind of go around, but in going around, you're still touching. It's like
does
girl
it
cupping.
Feel invasive, or is it you going, I just want to get on my plane?
Yeah.
It's actually
care.
Become kind of cool to go to the airport now.
Oh.
For Steve, it's dating.
For some.
Next. Alec Baldwin says he may not do the Trump impression much anymore. Alec Baldwin is threatening to kill the Trump impression and move on because he says it's not funny.
No.
Because Trump is not, he's not backing off. He has no sense of humor about himself. And he said it's too scary. And at some point, it's just not funny.
It's all the more reason to do it.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, of course he is. Yeah, he'll keep doing it. What is he talking about? Yeah. Next. We run out of paper? Oh, there it is. There's a new study out that tells how much sex couples should be having. You want to take a guess? This is married couples or couples have been together a long time. Per week, how much sex should you be having?
According to the survey, I would say twice a week.
Twice, Susan?
Maybe 3 times.
Mark?
Let's go daily.
Says the single man.
Mark, whose longest long-term relationship is 4 days.
Let's go. I'm shooting for the moon here, Steve.
54 times a year, just slightly over once a week.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't
listen,
seem like a lot.
Let me tell you something. There's people driving to work right now going, who's doing it that much?
Right.
Next.
Expand on that more.
And finally, a movie theater in Los Angeles has come up with an idea which may be the worst idea ever. They're putting a children's playground in the theater.
Oh, that's great.
So in the back of the theater, you know, your kids, you take the kids to the movie and the kids can't focus, can't pay attention. Well, let them go in the back, go up and down the slides, go on the monkey bars. I mean, they're not going to make any noise. It'll be fine.
That's what's so great about Netflix.
This is driving more and more people to Netflix. The theaters actually are saying this is one of the reasons they're doing it because they're trying to get more people to come in. They will show mostly movies that are family-oriented with kids. But listen, if I take my kids to the movie, I don't take them to the movie so they can play in the back. Listen, take them to the playground in the park. You don't have to pay $10 for it.
Exactly. Each.
Crazy. And a bonus item, your TV is not watching you. The CIA hacking from WikiLeaks yesterday, the headline screaming, your TV can watch you. It's nonsense. There were Samsung TVs from 2012 and 2013 that the CIA apparently struck a deal with Samsung to be able to monitor activities of bad guys they were chasing.
Oh.
It is a very small segment of small amount of TVs, and no, your TV's not watching you. Or is it?
A lot of people are actually campaigning to want you to host the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
I don't think that's going to happen.
not something you would consider.
No, it's not even so much that. I don't think that they want that. I honestly don't think that they want that. I think that for their prestige and their integrity, I think a lot of people are thinking that if Trump himself doesn't come and face the music, as it were, I don't know what kind of program they're going to have. If they wanted me to do it, I would probably do it. Trump just overwhelmingly lacks any kind of sportsmanship. He remains bitter and angry, and you want to look at him and you want to go, you won. His policies aside, which you can hate, I thought he would have just relaxed and said, hey, man, you know, there's a style the president has to have. And I think the maliciousness of this White House is a little, has people very worried, you know, which is why I'm not going to do it much longer, by the way, that whole impersonation. I don't think how much more people can take it.
I know for a fact that Alec Baldwin's people had conversations with the people that run the correspondence dinner. And what he said is true. It's an integrity issue. They don't want to mock the president in that manner if the president's not there. But I don't know. What are you going to do for the dinner?
I don't know. You have to. You cannot.
Yeah. I don't.
I mean, people expect it now at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, there is a leap that has to go there, but it's not going to have a great deal of interest this year, and they do provide scholarships for journalists, future journalists, and they need to have this thing make money, and there's a lot of people that have pulled out. Now, whether they'll come back in now, I don't know. That's Alec Baldwin talking about whether or not he'll give up the Donald Trump impression. More Trump news. Speaking of Saturday Night Live, a lot of people probably don't even know this. Al Franken was a writer on Saturday Night Live and an occasional performer. Remember Stuart Smalley?
Yeah, I'm good enough. I'm smart enough.
And people like me.
Yeah.
Yes. Al Franken, the senator from Minnesota, is very upset with Jeff Sessions. And he actually took an extra step on Jeff Sessions yesterday. Here's Franken talking about the attorney general.
So he says, I did not mention communications I had with the Russian ambassador over the years because the question did not ask about them. He answered a question I didn't ask. And for him to put this in his letter as a response is insulting. And he should come back and explain himself, Mr. Chairman. I think he owes that to us. I've bent over backward not to say that he lied. I have given him the benefit of the doubt, but he has to come back.
And he also said that he believes that Sessions perjured himself.
Well, yeah, because it was to Franken whom Sessions was speaking at the time when he did perjure himself. You can dance around it as many ways as you want, but he still didn't tell the full truth.
You know, everybody used to be polite about this. We live in a new world. A lie's a lie, but the bar for proving perjury is pretty difficult. But Franken at least has taken a step and said he did. One more from yesterday. The Spicy Spicerman did his first live brief in like 5 days.
Yeah, 4 days, yeah.
Yeah, was it 4 days?
Yeah, I think so, because he didn't do any over the weekend either.
And the question came up from Saturday's tweet fest from President Trump about, where's the proof? Listen.
The president made a very serious allegation over the weekend, and I think we would all be remiss if we went through this briefing and not try to get you on camera to at least offer us some evidence. Where is the evidence? Where is the proof that President Obama bugged President Trump?
Well, I answered this question yesterday on camera on your air. So just so we're clear, I know this is now will be twice, but I think I made it clear yesterday.
But since yesterday,
nothing has changed. It's not a question of new proof or less proof or whatever. It's the answer is the same, and I think that there is a concern about what happened in the 2016 election. The House and Senate Intelligence Committee have the staff and the capabilities and the processes in place to look at this in a way that's objective, and that's where it should be done. And frankly, if you've seen the response from, especially on the House side, but as well as the Senate, they welcome this. And so let's let the Senate do their job and the House, intelligence committees, and then report back to the American people.
Yeah. Will the president withdraw the accusation? Does he have any...
Why would he withdraw it until it's adjudicated? That's what we're asking. Is for them to look at this and see if there's
raising this accusation.
Absolutely not.
The president has the power to declassify anything. if there was a FISA warrant that was asked for by President Obama while he was still in office, it is literally a phone call. You pick up the phone call, pick up the phone, and you make the call, and you say, I want to know if there was a FISA warrant for this or that, and they have to tell you. And then, so that's one way to do it. The second way is for him to publicly declassify the information regarding the wiretapping such that it was. Everybody in the food chain that would have been involved in approving this says it didn't happen.
Right. They have to go through so many steps. Former CIA directors, former Homeland Security directors all saying, no, this didn't happen.
No. And because of that, what we're going to witness now is a complete waste of time. And if the president and Spicy Spicerman had been willing to be that passionate about Russia, they wouldn't be in the mess they're in now. And I would say be careful what you ask for, because the president has accused the former president of a felony. Mm-hmm. Because it is felonious to wiretap someone in this country. And that's, you know, a citizen, that's what he would have done. So the president would have committed a felony. So he's accused him of a felony. So in other words, you go through this investigative process and you find out there's nothing there. Well, then you start talking about those high crimes and misdemeanors, and you start talking about going down that path.
Right. And completely miss the boat on another investigation that might have been a lot more pertinent.
Well, now they're talking about maybe piggybacking more of Russia on top of this and trying to make it more transparent. We basically are at a point now where we have to watch Washington more than ever. And you thought you were watching them before? Yeah, not so much. That's why we're here, to keep an eye on it and to talk about it. To the great joy of some of you and the great chagrin of others. Let those texts come in, by the way, at 312-981-7200. 6:31, we're back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
By the way, if this congressional investigation of Barack Obama wiretapping Donald Trump turns out to be nothing, and if the Russian thing turns out to be nothing, that's the best case scenario. That's what you hope for. But again, it begs the question, why wouldn't Trump cooperate fully ahead of time as opposed to creating this smokescreen that there's something there? Why would you allow all the suspicion to build if there's nothing? We'll find out. 6:43, Karen Conti joins us now on International Women's Day. Happy International Women's Day to you.
Well, and to you too.
Thank you for that. And thank you for not striking today, because we needed to talk to you.
Lots of stuff going on today.
There is. The new travel ban will get a legal test as well. Hawaii is the first state to sue. Of what you've been able to look at and see so far with the change, apparently, the main change apparently being that Iraq was removed from the seven countries. How is it different, and will it stand the court test this time?
Well, I think this one was crafted much more carefully, and it reads almost like a brief in that it has citations and statutes and legal terms in it. To what you can see they're trying to do is to cut off at the pass and the arguments that it's unconstitutional. And they've done some things that I think help the bill and make it a little bit more palatable. The only problem that I see here is you can't discriminate based on nationality. I know that sounds weird. The president has huge discretion when it comes to immigration and national security, but there's a law that was passed in the 60s that said that you cannot use immigration laws to discriminate based upon nationality. And we also can't discriminate based upon religion. And even though the law says we're not really trying to exclude Muslims, we know that Donald Trump said prior to issuing his first immigration law, yes, that's what we're trying to do. So the courts are going to have to go back and look at the intent and determine whether it's constitutional. And I think, I think some states are going to find it constitutional and some aren't. And it's going to be a U.S. Supreme Court decision.
Well, and it goes back to what you can't erase. And what you can't erase is Rudy Giuliani saying he asked me to find a way to do a Muslim ban. And then we reworked it, and then what you just said about what Trump said, those are things that will stick. So if the intent is there, is that what the court looks at?
It does, and the court says this all the time. We're not just going to look at the law. We're not just going to look at the words. We're going to look at the legislative history, what promulgated this. And there has been, unfortunately for Donald Trump, who is very verbal about his reasons for this on every news channel in the world, there's 4 or 5 times where he actually said those words. That's what we're trying to do. And we're going to maybe let Christians in, you know, who are the persecuted religion. You can't do that. That's just discrimination based on religion.
And the other piece of this, which really wasn't tested last time around, to my knowledge, is the fact that the countries that are involved, well, they are really killing each other in acts of terrorism, have been almost a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction, if nothing at all, in regards to terrorism in this country. In other words, people coming from those countries into this country once they gained access, those aren't the threat countries. So could that be an argument that Hawaii and other folks make that are against this law that says there is no grave threat that the president needs to act on with these six countries?
Surely that will be their argument, and that was a big argument in the Ninth Circuit that heard that case coming down from Washington. You know, they said, where's the evidence that these are the people we have to worry about? And again, you can't just do it on a basis of nationality. You have to do it on the basis of individual. Do we have an individual threat here? And, you know, I think they've made some headway in determining, you know, taking out Iraq and then taking and kind of explaining why we're going to use the ban against these different countries. But again, the courts are not going to be in a position to second guess national security, but there has to be a rational reason, and they better come up with really good reasons for this. Otherwise, it's going to be stricken down.
Yeah, and forget about the political language you hear about people flowing into the country freely. It doesn't happen that way.
No.
All right, let me ask you about this transgender situation. The Supreme Court basically punted on the transgender bathroom issue. What does that mean?
Well, this would have been a really interesting decision because it would have been the first one the Supreme Court heard on this issue. But basically what it said was it's a kind of complicated thing, but the lower court in this case had said that, you know, it was a girl who turned into a boy, right? And he wanted to use the bathroom of his new gender. And the courts upheld that and said, yes, that's correct according to the law. You must allow that. Well, that was based upon Obama giving some words of guidance. It wasn't really an executive order, but words of guidance saying, yes, this you can't discriminate based upon sex and gender. And under Title IX, which is the educational laws, we're not going to give federal funding to schools that don't abide by that. Well, Trump immediately withdrew that guidance. So now the court says, well, based upon this new directive coming from the president, we can't decide it until you guys try again, come up with another decision, and I know you guys will end up back in the Supreme Court. So I would say that maybe a year or so later, the case will probably be heard by the Supreme Court.
Meanwhile, North Carolina continues to struggle with a new Democratic governor whose powers were legally stripped from him by the outgoing governor, and the Republican legislature is trying to change the law in that state because they're losing tremendous amounts of business and business opportunities, including the NBA All-Star Game and other sports and concerts and things like that. I got a couple more for you.
Good.
When we come back, including when's OJ getting out of prison and is he going to stay with you? It's six.
Will the juice be loose?
Get the old Bronco out. Fire it up, baby. Karen Conti, attorney at law. What's the office contact info?
312-332-7800 or email me at kconti@kcontilaw.com.
OJ getting out of prison?
You know, he is. I'm pretty sure he's going to be let out of prison. There's a huge population of prisoners in Nevada, and he's a model prisoner, which doesn't surprise me because most sociopaths can basically get by.
Right.
And he served 9 years of his 33-year sentence, and it looks like he's going to get out. He needs 4 out of the 7 people, the commissioners, and for by all accounts, it looks like he's going to get that vote, and he'll be out by October.
Maybe he could room with Drew Peterson if he needs a place.
Oh, my goodness. But, you know, it's going to be interesting, isn't it, to see what he does on the outside again? Because, you know, people like Drew Peterson, people like O.J. Simpson, they don't think the rules apply to them.
Right.
And you think they would learn their lessons. You think they would say, I got by, I'm free, I'm done, and stay out of trouble. But it's almost like they can't do it, it'll be interesting to see what happens to him.
Karen, if he is released, of course, he has that $33 million civil judgment against him with the Goldman family that they won. Will they ever see any of that money?
I think they've seen a little bit of it. I think there were a couple auctions where some money was actually you know, given to the family, but probably not a whole lot. I mean, he's going to get his pension. He's in Florida, which really is a good state to protect assets. So, you know, if he does any kinds of, so anyone pays him money to do a speaking engagement, which probably is not going to be a lot of people, they could glom on to that. But of course, it's a full-time job to collect money. Collecting money is not as easy as people think. I mean, you have to garnish wages. You have to be there to get the cash. You have to put liens on things. And OJ will live through other people. He'll probably have a girlfriend or his family buy things for him and on his behalf. So the answer is they're probably not going to see very much.
Yeah, and this will give him an opportunity to find the real killer, you know, now that he's out.
Exactly.
Yeah. The WikiLeaks dump of documents, a lot of people are freaking out over this. WikiLeaks, again, is a criminal enterprise. It's not; these are not journalists. These are bad people. They should not be held in high esteem. This notion yesterday they dumped all these, even not been verified as CIA documents, not that the CIA would go, yep, that's us. But, for instance, we talked about this earlier, the Samsung TV piece of this. These are TVs that were, a deal was struck with Samsung to track down bad guys. And these were TVs that were going to bad guys' houses from 2012 and 2013 so they could specifically watch the bad guys. So it's not like your TV, your Samsung TV is watching you. I don't know how much you can do about the government piece of this anyway, and I don't spend a whole lot of time worrying about it because I don't cavort with terrorists. But and are we getting anywhere with personal laws in regards to, you know, Andrea hacks into my email? Can I protect myself from that?
Well, you know, when it comes to the government, I mean, the government still has to get a warrant. I mean, maybe they have this technology, but technically and usually they have to get a warrant, and they will get a warrant. If there's probable cause to believe a crime was committed and that the person who they're targeting is the person who committed it, probable cause is pretty low standard. They get a warrant. A warrant is issued without anyone else being there. Judge gives it to you, and then you can go use your technology to spy on people and see what they're doing and get information for a potential prosecution. Same with foreign. That's what we were dealing with this idea that President Obama wiretapped. I mean, first of all, it wouldn't have been him. It would have been somebody in the Justice Department going right and getting a warrant from a court. So there's still that process by which you have to, you know, get that warrant and show that there is a reason to be doing this. Just because the government has technology doesn't mean they can use it willy-nilly against everyone. Now, will they and can they and have they? Yes. Technically, they're not supposed to do it.
But again, because Andrea's hacking into my email, can I do anything about her?
Well, sure. You can sue her. I mean, I get this all the time. I've got, you know, divorce cases where spouses are getting into people's, you know, into their computers, into their cell phones. They put GPSs on them. I mean, you know, anyone can do anything, but it's illegal. And there are lawsuits, there's prosecutions. I don't think the prosecutors are really concerned about this type of thing because they've got other fish to fry. But no, you can't do that. You can't. There are the privacy laws, there are computer laws, there's all kinds of laws that prohibit that and make it actionable.
So we do have some protection. A helpful listener just texted, my toaster's digital. Yikes. That's right, your toast is watching you.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, Karen, I've not hacked into Steve's email that he knows of.
Yes, exactly.
not that exciting, really.
No,
it's down to it.
Well, it depends on which account you're talking about. Not that this would happen, but could Obama sue Trump for libel if this all proves to be what we think it is?
Well, I was just thinking that. Of course he can. I mean, he's not going to. I don't think he's going to get into the trenches with Trump. But, I mean, a false statement that's intentional and it implies that he committed a felony, yeah, that's like a standard defamation case. And, you know.
And he's a private citizen now.
Obviously, if you look on Facebook, half the people in the world believe that he did it just because Trump said it. So even though we've had no proof. So, yeah, he could do it and he could get millions and Trump would probably hold it up in court and it would go on and on.
I'll say get it from OJ. all right, Karen, thank you.
All right.
That's Karen Conti on International Women's Day. I hope you're celebrating. It's 6:58. Back after this on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
We were all excited last week when we heard the good news that Channel 9 had finally added a newscast. Because, you know, our friends at Channel 9, they're not covering enough news. Let's see. 4 a.m.
5.
5 a.m.
6.
6, 7, 8, 9.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go off the air at 10 for like 14 minutes.
Yeah.
And then they come back with more news to like 1.
11:30 to 1.
11:30 to 1.
Or 11 to 1, I think.
And then they come back at 4.
Yeah.
And they got a 4 and a 5. And then a 9 and a 10. Now they've added a 6.
Yes. That's a lot.
I was in the meeting. They said, what do you want to do? I said, here's what we do. We move Sapelsa to 6.
Okay.
So we put Sapelsa on at 6, but then we got, what are we doing with the 4? I said, the 4, the answer is simple. You take the lovely and talented Lourdes, you put her on at 4.
Oh, you said, you suggested
that. Yeah, I was in the meeting. Yeah, and who's going to co-anchor with her? And I said, I don't know, any schlub will do. I mean, it's all about Lourdes. And they got the new guy. What's the new guy's name?
Ben Bradley.
Is he still on the market?
He is. He's at Channel 9, yes. Okay. He's going to be anchoring with Lourdes.
Let's go live to Lourdes now. Good morning, Lourdes. How are you?
Oh, good morning. I was lobbying for Steve Cochran to be my co-anchor.
Right.
But that, I don't know. They didn't think that was a good idea. What were they thinking?
They said there was too much chemistry.
It was too much.
Yeah, it was too much chemistry. Yeah.
It's maybe when you said schlub.
It wasn't a lack of chemistry. It was over chemistry. Yeah, it was too much chemistry.
Pretty people together. They couldn't do it.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Are you
excited about the fact that you're going to be able to stay up like a grown-up now?
I know. My bedtime's going to be like not a 5-year-old's bedtime, which is fantastic.
Right.
So I'm going to miss the morning crew a lot. Dan and everybody and Aaron. And
well, let's Bob go through them.
Because they're awesome, and I'm always laughing, but I'm happy that I'll be sleeping.
Yeah, let's go through the people on the morning show. Let's find out who you're really going to miss. Dan Ponce. Dan Ponce.
I will miss him, yes.
Really?
Yes. Let's say yes.
Come on, seriously?
He's sneaky funny, though.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah, we like Ponce.
Funny.
Which one is he? Because there's 45 Ponce. He's Dan.
He's the oldest of the brothers.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there's Dan.
He's the one that doesn't do the podcast.
There's
he
Dan.
Sings.
Who's
Dan
the,
sings.
Who's
he's the
podcast
sings.
Guy?
Yes.
Anthony.
Oh, there's
the
Dan,
podcast.
Anthony, Harpo, Greg, Marcia, and Cindy.
Is there another brother or is just two brothers?
No, it's Dan and Anthony.
Okay.
And then they have a sister, Maria.
And she's
that's
a photographer.
It.
And then Marcus, you're not going to miss Marcus. Marcus is like the annoying kid on the block. You can't wait to get rid of him.
Well, you know, we used to work on the 5 p.m. together, and then he moved to mornings, and I had to follow him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, no, I'm going to miss every single one of them. They're all great.
How about Aaron?
Except for Larry, because he's a little creepy.
Wait, who?
Larry's a little creepy.
Yeah. Oh, sure, yes. Absolutely
definitely
creepy.
Definitely not going to miss him.
No, of course not. And Aaron, everybody loves Aaron, right?
Everybody loves Aaron, our favorite redhead, that's for sure.
By the way, how are those two going to do it? Aaron Ivory and Demetrius?
Oh, yeah.
They're never going to see each other again.
I know. That's going to be hard. I was just talking to them about that. They're like going to be crossing ships.
Yeah. Passing in the night.
Well, you talk about keeping a marriage fresh. They've only been married a couple of years. Now they're going to see each other for an hour on a Saturday.
Sometimes that's good for a marriage.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Now let's talk about the real issue here. Why didn't you come in live to see us today?
Because we are taking pictures today. I did want to, and I told Andrea that I wanted to go.
She did tell me, yes.
Talk to Cochran and give him a big hug.
She said that, yeah.
Because I did hear that he was the one in the meetings kind of standing up, pounding his fist, saying, put Duarte in there.
Yeah.
Right, with any
exactly
show.
Right.
Just like that.
Lourdes.
There are signs all over Tribune Tower.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, but they're taking pictures today, promotional pictures.
Aren't there enough pictures of you people? Don't you guys have enough pictures? You're on TV all day. I mean, come on. What sort of egomaniac business are you in? Everybody's got to take more pictures of the TV people.
They keep switching us around so much to say they can't get the partnerships right, so they keep having to take new ones. So.
Oh, I see. So you got to get a picture of you and Ben Bradley.
Yeah, it's Ben, Demetrius, and Jarrett. So the four of us together. We've never been in a room like together. So we want to do that.
So it's the really talented hot girl up front and then the three losers following her?
It's like Hamilton, like the room where it happens. You get Hamilton and Jefferson, and they're all going behind closed doors for the first time.
Although Demetrius said that he's the star, and we are all extras.
What?
So, yeah, that's what he said.
I think you're the star.
Well, I remember when
yeah.
I remember when Demetrius was just like the weather nerd. Where'd that ego come from?
Hasn't he been there the least amount of time, too?
That's right. That's what I say. So,
all right, so the 4 o'clock starts when?
4:00. April 4th.
Oh, I thought you
that did sound stupid, didn't it? What time's the 4 o'clock on? 4 o'clock.
4 p.m. on the 4th.
Yes, 4 on the 4th. All right, so when do you have to stop getting up early?
So I guess the 3rd will be my last day.
You don't even get like a grace period?
What deal is that? Why don't you work out some sort of vacation or something?
Well, I'm going on vacation next week, Cochran.
Where are you going?
Vegas.
Oh, like you don't know, whatever.
Chemistry.
He's a little jealous right now, isn't he?
A little bit. A little bit.
He's booking his flight.
A little bit.
Well, listen, I think it's a great move, and the fact that Channel 9 owns the news in this town, and anytime you need local news, you're going to get it from Channel 9, and you're going to get it all day, anytime. You got to do it
That's
this
right.
way. You have to do it this way. You have to be the place that people can get the news anytime they want it. And now, you know, I don't know what else you can do other than this.
And Lourdes is killing it, too, with her investigative reports,
That's going to be the best part of it, too, that I'll get to do. Because now, remember, I was staying late a lot of days, like till 4 or 5 trying to finish these stories, and I was coming in at 3.
Yeah, that's
so
crazy.
Now I'll work like a normal human being and do those stories as well. So I'll be able to turn a lot more of them.
And that's
so
you.
I will be bugging you to promote them.
Yeah, well, I like the part where you pretend you're coming in and then you call us. That's my favorite part. So it's you and Sapelsa and Bradley on the investigative team?
Yeah, so it'll be Bradley and myself till 4 p.m. And, yeah, the three of us on the investigative team.
I think you and Sapelsa ought to run some sort of background check on Bradley.
What do you think? What's on? He's got some skeletons?
Yeah, I think Bradley's going to try to take over every newscast. I just think that's what... Yeah, so I'd keep an eye on him. Yeah.
Like a telenovela. I need to start a new one because now I've lost Ponce. I need a new novella.
I totally
that
forgot
could
about
be
this.
Be a good plot.
You know, I totally forgot about how I got snubbed on all the telenovelas.
I know.
You guys never asked me to do a telenovela. You're putting on that chump.
Me.
Putting on that chump, Larry Wirt. You could have asked me.
Do you speak Spanish?
Yeah, hola.
Hola.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe Lourdes will get a bigger office because seriously, the poor thing is in an office the size of our little bathroom down here.
No, you get the newscast and you get to sleep. You don't get the better office. It's one or the other.
It's one or the other. It's one or the other. I'll take the sleep.
April 4th, the new 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock news with Lourdes and Ben Bradley. And who else is on the show?
Jarrett Payton and Demetrius Ivory, the star.
Well, that'll be fun. That'll be fun. It's a fun crew.
It'll be a great crew. We're excited. So.
Well, we'll miss you in the morning, but let's keep doing this fake thing where you pretend you're coming in.
Okay. Thank you guys for all your support all these years. You guys are awesome.
Right,
love you.
We love you, Lourdes.
There you go. That's Lourdes. And happy International Women's Day.
Yeah. You too, Andrea Darlis.
Thank you, Lourdes. Same to you, my friend.
All right. Bye, guys.
None of you guys.
She's the best.
None of you guys are striking
She's
today.
The best.
Lourdes?
No, we're not striking. We're here with... We love our jobs.
It's not really a job. That's the thing. I mean, you took a day off from this, please. But Lourdes will be great. Well, why wouldn't you go for a floor model? Why wouldn't you go for... You know, one of the older versions, this year's, last year's, whatever they have in stock.
Right.
Why wouldn't you?
For a spare room, absolutely.
And by the way, it's great for your regular bedroom, too, but I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Mattress Firm has all the best brands, all the best prices. Come to America's number one choice for sleep. It's Mattress Firm. Save money and sleep happy.
And Chicago Tribune delivers the stories that make the city with more journalists at work than any other local news source. Become a member today at chicagotribune.com.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
This will be a plan where you can choose your doctor. This will be a plan where you can choose your plan.
This is not about money. This is not about something else. This is about patients.
We are doing an act of mercy by repealing this law and replacing it with patient-centered health care reforms that we as conservatives have been arguing for and fighting for years.
We have to admit we are divided on replacement. We are united on repeal, but we are divided on replacement.
It's a complicated process, but actually it's very simple. It's called good health care.
I have the best words. I'm really good with words. 724, the Obamacare mess now becomes the Trump care mess, and the president gets to own it. And it is complicated, and it is difficult, but nobody said that it wasn't. In the meantime, you'll hear the Obamacare folks say, well, if the Republican legislatures around the country had left it alone, it never would have collapsed the way it has. That's not entirely true. There were 5 or 6 or 7 provisions of Obamacare that are definitely worth keeping and should have been instituted a long time ago. Keeping your kids on your plan till they're 26 because they're still living at home. Pre-existing conditions. Mm-hmm. Fair coverage for women without having to pay more for that coverage. You know, all of those things are common sense, right?
And making sure all those things are covered. Mammograms and things.
And keeping them in.
Yeah.
Keeping them in, absolutely. So what do the Republicans have to do? They have to do more than just talk politics. They have to come up with something. So a couple of nights ago, they sort of surprised everybody and said, hey, we got a bill. What do you mean you got a bill? You didn't have a bill before. How'd you get a bill now? To crank it out of the bill machine? Where'd you get a bill? And this bill is been greeted with, I think if there was music that would be put to it, it would be something like this. Wah, wah, wah. Because the president would like to move it along as quickly as possible. Paul Ryan would like to move it along as quickly as possible. But it's got a couple of significant problems. One of those is the eventual, not immediate, but the eventual change in Medicaid funding. Medicaid's a big deal. Medicaid takes care of a lot of poor people in this country, but also takes care of a lot of kid insurance.
Right.
A lot of sick kids are taken care of by Medicaid. Mm-hmm. There's great questions in this bill that Congress is going to take on, and it'll be marked up today about whether or not Medicaid will survive and still be an effective way to cover health insurance. The argument against that would be there's a lot of people that have health care cards, but they don't have coverage. And yeah. That's true. You know, Andy Mazur, who sometimes takes care of sports when Annette's not here, was talking about that as a freelancer. Mm-hmm. Couldn't get coverage.
Right.
There's people all over the country couldn't get coverage. Part of the disaster, as President Trump likes to say, that Obamacare turned out to be in many ways. So once the states started to say, no, we don't want any part of this, that's where the end for Obamacare was near. But you can't just call it something. You can't just say it's something. You got to find a way to make it work. So the eventual bill that the Senate will pass, because remember, there's 52-48 Republican. You can't have more than two Republicans go away. You got to have something that meets both sides. Guys like Rob Portman in Ohio, there's a lot of senators who said, listen, you defund Planned Parenthood, we're not on board.
Yeah.
So that's going to go away. So the Medicaid piece and the Planned Parenthood piece, you're going to hear a lot of arguments about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact that I think one of the other major problems, too, is that if you didn't have coverage, you were fined. And that's going to go away, too, under this new revision, which I think could be a good thing, too. I mean, yes, there should be universal coverage, but if you can't afford the coverage, you shouldn't be fined in the first place. There's got to be some sort of middle ground there, too.
The tax credits piece of this,
which
is, you know, different than the subsidies. How? The tax credits piece of this will be one of the things that the Republicans will be arguing over. But the House is essentially teed up to pass it. Paul Ryan is guaranteed it'll pass. You need 206 votes, not the higher number because there's a couple of vacancies. But he says, yep, done. The Senate, not so fast. So they'll mark it up in committee today. The Senate will take it on. They'll kick it back. But the guys in the House, including the new Health and Human Services director, say they want this done by mid-April. That's lightning fast in Washington, D.C. terms. How does it affect your health care immediately? It really doesn't. It doesn't. Immediately, you're going to be under the same sort of plan because law will be instituted in phases if, in fact, it's passed at all.
But will your co-pays and your deductibles and that, will that go up? That'd be my question.
Hard to say right now because
and
the
prescriptions too.
Yeah, the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, which is bipartisan, hasn't scored the bill. And since they haven't scored the bill, they can't tell you specifically whether or not they think people are going to drop off or maybe more people will be covered. Mm-hmm. There is a separate bill that the conservative side of the House is proposing, which they got everybody and every Republican in the House to vote for. And I think they got all the Republicans in the Senate as well. To vote for it, which is the clean repeal and replace. So in other words, it's all of Obamacare goes away and here's your new health care plan. It's more market-based. But you really want to scare people, including the people you need to vote for you in the House? Take away what you've already given them. Because people who have the health care now, they don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about it. People aren't going to work right now. Yeah, it may suck that they're getting all this money taken out for their health care. It may suck that they got a $2,000 deductible. I pay a ridiculous amount for health care. I'm sure you do as well.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is you don't want to go, wait, well, what do you mean you're taking it away?
Right. And then start from ground zero again.
Yeah. So what's the next thing going to be? Yeah. And the next thing is the next thing going to be worse because that's where you go. Because we don't want to spend a lot of time thinking about something as complex and as layered as health care. So the House has to decide the political argument here. We got to run for re-election in 2 years. We got to start raising money in earnest in the next couple of months. And then the campaign is on for 18 months. Are we going to risk this over this bill or that bill? Because the Republicans have to have some meeting of the minds on this. And then it still has to get through the Senate. So there's a lot of talking going on. Don't get caught up in the panic. What you have is what you're likely to have for the immediate future. Yeah. It's 7:30. We're back after this on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
You explain to me how I'm supposed to make some money when there's not one blessed gopher out here. Are those sheep? Really?
I want to invite you to run a golf clinic for the summer. you will be able to practice your game without pressure.
You've got the development of geometry, philosophy, physics, all concepts rooted in ancient Greece, all essential to the game of golf.
Then why don't the Greeks play golf?
I don't know.
Tomorrow night at the Pickwick Theater in Park Ridge, special screening of Swing Away, a romantic comedy shot in Greece, starring Shannon Elizabeth, the lovely and talented, and the lovely and talented John O'Hurley, our friend who joins us on the phone, along with George Stephanopoulos, the other one.
The other one.
The big shot movie producer, who is actually the first one's cousin. Let's go to the phone now and talk to the fellas. Starting with Mr. O'Hurley, you can lock that line in for me. Good morning, John. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I think you've made that introduction perfectly, perfectly obscure.
Well, I try to make it as...
We have the other George Stephanopoulos.
Right, but all Greeks are cousins. It's a law.
It's true. It's true.
It really is. It really is. George, you're there, aren't you?
Yes. Hold on. We're popping George on right now. Good morning, George. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Thanks for being on.
How you doing?
George, you know what I like about your movie? Here's the problem with golf movies. Golf movies traditionally have had people who never play the roles. And if you play golf at all, you go, well, that person doesn't play. The swing is hacky. And it ruins the movie. You got real golf swings in this movie. I like it.
You know, that's the beauty of the movie, as it really does. It celebrates the sport of golf in a way that you can believe that it's actually happening. But it also it celebrates the kind of the spirit of golf as well, as a kind of a backdrop for really teaching the larger message about that life is really redemptive. No matter what you do, it's always redeemable.
And, George, I've looked at some of the reviews, and this movie is very well thought of. You're getting a lot of four-star kickbacks here.
Well, I don't think you can go wrong when Greece is your production location. So, you know, it is a comedy with heart. So, in terms of the genre, you know, it's an appealing family-oriented comedy. So, in that sense, it could play to a broad audience. And obviously, we're sort of reaching out initially to primarily the Greek and Greek American communities. But we know that this movie is a public screening, so we're inviting all your audience and listeners to join us tomorrow night at the Pickwick, and it seats over 900 people. So we hope and expect
fill it up.
Crowd.
The Greeks will show up. Trust me. You tell one, it'll spread to 900.
Andrea will just call 800 of her cousins.
I'll just send one text out, and then they'll all be there. Trust
right,
me, George.
Right.
Well, talk about the location. You guys filmed this mainly in Rhodes, on the island of Rhodes.
Yeah, it was there on Rhodes. I had never been before. George, of course, knows it well. But I got it from never having seen the Greek Isles before. Put it on your bucket list. It is some of the most beautiful vistas you will ever see. And the water there is a color you will never see anywhere on Earth.
Gorgeous.
There's something about that water. It's just absolutely gorgeous. Clear to 100 feet and the most beautiful color blue you've ever seen.
Wow. All right. Well, there's and by the way, O'Hurley gets nothing for that. He's still flying coach.
Right. And you know what? There's great pictures of O'Hurley and Shannon Elizabeth doing Greek. You guys were Greek dancing, right? Was this the rat party?
Oh, that could have been on any given night. Let me tell you, the Greeks are proud to be Greek when they wake up at 6 in the morning, and they're proud to be Greek when they go to bed at 4 a.m.
But you love to dance. I bet you loved learning new moves.
Well, you know, and the thing is, here over there, everybody knows the dances. They're indigenous to you. You just learn these at a young age, I guess, and they stay with you. So anybody gets up and can dance. It's amazing. We don't have that in the U.S. We get up and get jiggy with it.
So, George, when you were casting this, did you know how good a golfer John O'Hurley was?
I did not. I always have known him mostly from Seinfeld, but I think he's one of our great comedic actors in show business, and had the privilege of meeting him at an event in New York, and told him I was trying to develop this golf comedy in Greece, and he was all in, like his character in the movie. He doubled down on this film, and we were lucky to have him there. He his performance is fantastic. He's funny. I think the lines in this film are going to be as memorable as anything in Caddyshack and other golf films. So I'm looking forward for people to, to see not just John, but Shannon, who was fantastic in this film. I mean, she's an extremely professional actress, and she came to Greece super prepared. She played, a Greek American, so she, she had to assume that role and learn how to cross herself and venerate icons. I mean, it's not an overtly religious or faith-based film, but it does show people of faith in a spiritual community, and I think, to her as a protagonist, she's a professional golfer, and we needed someone over 5'7", someone who looked athletic, played mid-30s, and in all those ways, Shannon just fit the bill, and she was, brilliant in this movie.
And John, I think I'm right about this. Isn't Shannon playing a lot of the celebrity events?
No, I don't think she does.
It was a
surprise to me that she even played golf.
I thought you played a little bit. Now, what's your handicap these days?
I'm a 5.
5 is good, kids.
Holy cow.
5 is really good. 5 means he's given me 5.
Holy cow. Yeah, I'm glad to hear you say, George, that, all the research, because the Greeks will notice that. I think if you're going to be true to the character, there was a scene in the trailer that I saw. I haven't seen the film yet, but she misses a putt. And I think anybody who's a golfer has been there, where you throw the club and you take the putter and you just kind of wedge it into the green.
She buries the club in the green, which actually pained me. It actually went, oh.
The Cardinal sin. Yeah. It is. It's silly. I'm sure everybody wants to do, but very few people do behave that way.
Well, she did it on the 18th hole of an LPGA major tournament, which you're not supposed to do. So she gets suspended, and that's where this whole film begins. But just to stay free of the limelight, she goes back to her roots in Greece to just kind of be quiet for a while during the suspension.
I like a movie that doesn't have to have iron in the title. I like a movie that doesn't have to have cartoon characters flying at me in 14 different directions. This feels like a great family sports romantic comedy, and I'm like really looking forward to it.
I got to tell you the truth. I've seen this. I don't see anything I do. I don't watch anything I do. I've never seen myself dance on television. I don't go to screenings of films that I do, but because George had his heart, his wallet, and his life invested in this film, I went to the screening. I've been to 4 of them now. And I got to tell you, every time I see this film, my eyes well up at the end, and I can't stop it. It's just such a compelling film at the end. It has nothing to do with whether I'm in it or not. The story is just overwhelming, and it really does. It does affect you at a very, very deep level.
It had to be fun shooting it, too, huh?
Oh, let me tell you, on the bucket list, check it off.
All right, are we ever playing golf, or is that just talk?
Oh, come on, let's do it.
All right. Well, you're coming to Chicago, or I'm coming to L.A. I'm not going to meet you in Nebraska.
I know. I got to bring Chicago to Chicago one more time, and we'll do it.
All right, great. And, George, congratulations. By the way, let's give credit, too. Who wrote it?
It was written by Paul Lingus and Mike Nichols, our director, Michael Nichols. He's also of Greek heritage. Directed the movie. His wife is a co-writer on the film. So we had, a great creative team. Everyone involved in this production in front and behind the camera, all Greek or Greek Americans. I mean, with the exception of John and Shannon and our British comedic actor, Carl Theobald. And in that sense, I'm, very proud that we did what we did. We're probably one of the few, if only, non-Greek language films that were shot, edited, and post-produced in Greece. And in that sense, whatever we had to spend, we kept it in Greece to support the Greek creative community. So,
no.
So it's not just my movie. This is in the people who made it. It's really, I think, a film that all Greeks and Phil Hellenes can identify with.
Being Greek, George, I have to ask you, how did you get everybody to go to bed by 2 a.m. and be on set the next morning on time at 5 a.m.?
Well, they're professional actors. I mean, everyone took this film extremely serious. We the villagers in the movie were professional, non-professional actors, and two of the actors in the movie, the extras, were actually in Guns of Navarone, which was filmed on the island of Rhodes in 1961.
Yeah.
So, I'm very, I felt that those people really grounded the movie as a town story. And so everyone, whether it was our main cast or the extras, couldn't have been more prepared and professional. And in that sense, I'm certain, more and more people want to make movies in Greece because it's highly underrated.
I'll tell you, I bet they
love about the story.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I bet they loved Mayor O'Hurley. O'Hurley never met a human being he doesn't like.
They didn't know what hit him when John stepped on set.
Well, I played
loud, obnoxious American.
I play the wealthy American developer who comes in to take over the only golf course that Rhodes has and decides to turn it into a resort slash water park. And it has that kind of overwhelming Donald Trumpian type of character that comes in, and it's he's a type A personality, and I make him absolutely irredeemable. and it's so much fun, and I make no apologies for it. It's so much fun to play that way because it in such contrast to all the other characters in the film, he is just a plays by his own rules type of character, and it was so much fun. And so much of the character, and this is what I enjoyed about the film, was just improvisational. I would turn to Mike Nichols, the director, and just say, just let me talk.
Cool.
I get this guy.
But
yeah,
you love that.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
All right, boys, enjoy it. And by the way, suck up to Andrea Darla. She'll have a full theater tomorrow
night.
Right. She knows every Greek in town.
We'll put the word out.
Thank you so much.
Great to talk to you both.
Bye, guys.
All right, hang on, dude.
You'll love this movie.
Yeah, it looks fun. It does look fun. Really does. John O'Hurley and George Stephanopoulos. We're not kidding. That George Stephanopoulos is really George Stephanopoulos from Good Morning America's cousin.
Cousin, I know, right?
Do they have to all be named George?
It's not uncommon.
Or
that's
the deal.
I think I only have six Georges in my family.
Six. But not to recount.
Hey, is O'Hurley really a five?
Four.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're what?
Oh, he said five, didn't he?
Yeah, and
he
you're a two?
No, please.
You're good.
I'm a 10. Used to be a 2. I'm a 10 headed for 20.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well,
live to Channel 9, where the legend Dean Richards is standing by. Good morning, legend.
How are you feeling?
You know, I'm 70%. Oh, but a lot of people would say that's better than most days.
70% is better than 69%.
Yeah, and you know, there's people that would say most of the time I do this show, he's not giving us more than 50-55.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
I've heard that.
How are you doing?
You know what? I'm still recovering from that stupid flu that I had a couple of weeks ago.
So you actually got the flu.
I did have the flu a couple of weeks ago, and I feel fine, but my voice is still, you know, not where it should be.
I got the Abigail.
Oh, see?
That's Abigail. Abigail gave me a cold. Best cold ever.
Yeah.
Best cold ever. Totally best cold. My granddaughter gave me a cold.
You just can't quit her.
Yeah, that's true. It's absolutely true.
I was at an event with...
Are we done talking about Abigail?
Where Abigail was...
There you go.
You're at an event, what now?
It was an event honoring Abigail, baby of the year. And,
again, right, Dean, for the second straight year.
Right. It's weird because first they announced that La La Land was baby of the year.
Right. Wrong envelope.
And it turns out that it was Abigail after
totally.
All.
Completely right.
I was at an event, you know, where around a lot of people I hadn't seen in a long time, and there were a lot of hugging and kissing.
Oh, boy.
And some people, you know, like old friends, I like them very much, kissing on the lips. And I think I've become way too much of a germaphobe for that.
Yeah, you know, that's a weird move, right? Because the show business people, you know, all of us, we're carnival people. There are those who do the lip kiss or the cheek kiss and... You know, you don't really know what's coming.
Normally,
and you don't really know where to go in.
Normally, I'm a cheek kisser or just like, you know, an embrace kind of hug. But, you know, when someone's coming in for the lips, you know, they're zeroing in, you know, for a lunar landing. You don't know what to do. And I think, you know, from now on, it feels rude to divert.
Yeah.
Well,
if somebody's trying to kiss you on the lips and you turn, yeah, that's a little rude. Here's where I run into trouble. I go full tongue.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So
how many times have I had that awkward situation with you?
Can somebody tell Steve to stop putting his tongue in my mouth? So you think you got the flu from one of your makeout sessions?
I think that's got to be what it was from.
Andrea was telling me that she was sitting next to a lovely woman, but the kid was sick, right?
Yeah, yesterday at an event that I emceed, Dean, this woman sat next to me, and she kept coughing into her elbow, but turning right to me while she was doing it. And I said, are you okay? She said, oh, I just have this terrible cold. And I said, well, maybe you should go home.
Yeah.
For my sake.
Or turn the other way and cough.
Right.
There's not a good way to do that. I mean, if you're in close quarters like that, I mean, you know, and also I was on, I was in LA a lot. I was on airplanes a lot. So, you know, it may
have, God, you're lucky you're alive.
May have been that. I do like to make out with people who are sitting next to me on the planes, you know, just as a,
who got the lucky seat this time?
Sort of a welcome.
Do you guys wipe down the seat when you get on the plane?
No,
no.
Uh-uh. See, I do. I get the wipes out.
I'm not surprised. I've seen how you wipe the
start
studio.
Doing that. I'm going to start doing
you
that.
You have to.
I've flown with you. I've seen you do it on a plane.
I know. You have to do it.
Yeah. No, I don't wipe down the seat. No.
I may start wearing a hazmat suit when I go on a plane.
So,
or a beekeeper suit. I may start wearing a beekeeper suit.
That's a great way not to be recognized. Hey, don't look at me.
Is that Dean Richards?
Yeah.
It's Dean in a beekeeper suit. What are you guys doing to honor International Women's Day today there at the Online? Because you've got a lot of women there.
We do have a lot of women today. Isn't it a World Without Women Day?
Well, it's a combination platter.
Isn't that what it is?
A World Without Women is a strike that you could take part in, where
a
you could
day without full, women.
Full the
day without women.
Yeah.
Feel the impact of women not doing the jobs they normally do all day and don't get credit for. But it's all part of International Women's Day.
Yeah, I don't think we're doing anything really to honor that.
Well, that's sweet. That's
it's
sweet.
Just it's just a day where everyone shows up for work.
Right. Hey, Robin, give me a coffee, huh?
All right. Hey, sweet cakes.
Oh, that's nice.
Cream and sugar. You know how I like it.
Hey, McElroy, whatever the hell you're calling yourself now, where's my coffee? Yeah.
I did get a funny text from somebody saying, World Without Women Day, there goes my trip to the Admiral Theater.
That's just
weird, isn't it?
That's not good.
That's just weird.
Here's what's coming up. Alec Baldwin may quit Trump. The new Disney film, you got to take your mom or you won't be able to get in.
In Russia.
Oh, in Russia. Okay.
Or Alabama.
Is Trump trying to hide this movie?
I don't know if Trump is involved. I have not heard any connection.
You said Russia.
With the president in this.
Is Ryan Gosling an astronaut? What singer does Rupert Grint?
These are really compelling teases.
These are the worst teases ever.
These are compelling.
How about this one? You ready? What singer is Rupert Grint confused with? People are going, who the hell is Rupert Grint? And what big boobed actress has just filed for divorce?
Oh.
Wow, that's a tough one.
The worst teases ever. Hey, broadcasters, don't tease like Steve does.
Yes, these are supposed to get you to listen longer. That theory behind what Steve just did, that's just for you young broadcasters to try to get you to listen a little bit longer.
Strangely, the last one entices me the most.
The big boob one. Yeah, well, that's what everybody's hooked into.
Is it a Kardashian?
Everybody loves a big boobs.
Sex sells. You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean
Richards, the entertainment editor, Channel 9. Dean is at Channel 9. Random texter question. Did you ever review the movie Bitter Harvest?
I did not. I did not. I did not see that.
What do you hear?
Fell through the cracks. I've heard good things about it.
Okay.
I
hear things. I hear things. You know, I hear things. That's what you're saying. I hear things. That's it.
Yeah.
That's enough.
Yeah, that sounds right.
All right. Alec Baldwin says he might not play the role in of Trump much longer. You want to hear the clip?
Yeah.
The clip. Here's the clip.
Sure.
Trump just overwhelmingly lacks any kind of sportsmanship. He remains bitter and angry, and you want to look at him and you want to go, you won. His policies aside, which you can hate, I thought he would have just relaxed and said, hey, man, you know, there's a style the president has to have. And I think the maliciousness of this White House is a little, has people very worried, you know, which is why I might not do it much longer, by the way, that whole impersonation. I don't think how much more people can take it.
I don't understand it. I don't. Mario Lopez, Extra TV yesterday. I don't understand what he's talking about. What does he mean? How much more people can take? It helps.
I think what he means is that things have become so serious that, it feels...
At some point it's not funny?
That people just find this whole, the whole situation, no matter what side you're on with this whole thing, just find the whole thing so serious that, the continued spoofing of it, is not being funny. I think that's what he's saying. I mean, he is kind of elusive as to what he's saying. On the same time, I don't know if this is the same interview, but somebody asked him yesterday if he would play, if asked if he would play Donald Trump at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, since the real Donald Trump has declined an invitation to do that. And he said that if they ask him, he'll do it. He doesn't think they're going to ask him. But that kind of flies in the face, though, doesn't it?
I don't know what his play there is. I think we're way too early in the it's not funny because it's too real the discussion. But here's what we know. We know Alec Baldwin's nuts. So it's part of his brilliance. So because of that, he's going to say wacky things once in a while.
I would think that just after a while, I mean, I think it's funny. I mean, a lot of people don't find it funny at all, but I think it's funny. But at some point, okay, you've done the joke. You know, now, you know, they've done the Melissa McCarthy as Sean Spicer. That's funny. They did Jeff Sessions as Forrest Gump last week that I also thought was very funny.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know if Trump doesn't appear as much anymore. I mean, you know, at some point, you stop telling the same joke over and over again.
I don't know. Listen.
I love when you analyze comedy like this. That really makes the joke.
Waters it down quite a bit, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't you guys think the writing's been really good, though? Because they keep adding different people, like Putin and then Sessions.
Yeah, the shirtless Putin guy's funny, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you live in Russia and you're listening this morning, good morning. And you can't go to the new Disney film?
If you're under 16, you will not be able to go see the new Disney movie, Beauty and the Beast. It's amazing to me that they've made a Disney movie adults only. The Russian Culture Ministry, and imagine if they were regulating this show every day,
yeah.
what that would be
this
like.
The segment would be off the air.
The Russian Culture Ministry says that it's being restricted because of its so-called gay moment in the movie. It's a group dancing. Almost everyone who has been talking about this gay moment has not even seen the movie.
Right.
I have no idea what they're talking about. But it's a group dancing scene at the end of the movie in which there's a flash. Literally, it's about 2 seconds where you see two guys who are dancing together and like a group of 100 people dancing. Literally, if you blink your eyes, you could miss the scene. It's so insignificant. But
it's just two cartoon guys dancing?
This is the live adaptation, so it's not cartoon guys, but it's cartoonish guys mm-hmm. who have, you know, pretty much been buffoons in the whole movie who are dancing together.
Huh.
So this Russian culture ministry says it's gay propaganda. That is not allowed in Russia. Apparently, they have no problem with a love story between a young woman and somebody who is essentially a goat.
Right. That bestiality? Cool.
Apparently, that's okay. But
two dudes dancing? Not cool.
Not coolski.
Yeah. Putin running around with his shirt off? Not gay at all. So, sorry if you're under 16. If you want to go to the movie, come here. Ryan Gosling's going to play who?
He is going to play astronaut Neil Armstrong. This is pretty interesting. First guy ever to walk on the moon. One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. He is going to reunite with director Damien Chazelle. Chazelle won the Academy Award for Best Director for La La Land.
So it's a musical?
So
we're going to the moon. Yes, we are.
Fly me to the moon. Seems to make sense with that. But he, the movie's going to be out in October of next year. It's going to tell the story of Apollo 11, of Armstrong.
Rocket Man.
All the problems that happened on that flight that you may or may not have heard of, and every conceivable song having to do with space.
Maybe another Best Picture win for... Oh, wait.
Yeah. Wrong envelope. Wrong envelope. I hate it when they give me the wrong envelope.
I watched Crazy Stupid Love for about the 30th time this weekend.
It's a great movie.
I know. And Ryan Gosling is so good in that movie. So
everybody's good in that movie.
Is he good or is he dreamy, you mean?
He actually is dreamy. He's grown on me. I was not a Gosling fan, but I was like...
He's really good.
Yeah, he's good, really good and cute. And even Steve Carell is cute in that movie.
They're all great.
It's a nice movie.
It really is a nice movie. Are they doing a Stairway to the Moon like they do in La La Land?
In La La Land, where they actually dance up to the plants. Maybe. The film is just being made right now, so anything is possible.
Rupert Grint. You know, a lot of people stop me on the street. They go, Rupert Grint? I go, no, Steve. Rupert Grint is who?
Rupert Grint. He was the redheaded kid. Harry Potter.
Yeah, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
I can't think of his name. Why can't I think of his name right now?
Ron Weasley.
Ron Weasley. Yeah, Ron Weasley. And he's, you know, he was on the Late Late Show with James Corden the other night and said that when people recognize him these days, about half the time they think that he's singer Ed Sheeran, who is also British, also red-haired. They do look alike.
Yeah, they do.
They held up pictures next to each other. And he said that now he's about half and half the time, and when people come up to him and say they love his music, he says thank you, very much like I do when about half the time people mistake me for Tom Skilling, and I give them a fake weather forecast.
Sure.
And
Billy Joel?
I do sign autographs as Billy Joel.
Yep.
I have done that.
Mm-hmm.
I often give weather forecast, you know, for Tom Skilling. But what I've added on lately is I, you know, will give a weather forecast and they say something really mean to the person afterwards. So they walk away going, wow, that Skilling is a jerk.
It's funny you say that because I think you and I could good cop, bad cop Billy Joel. Because I get Billy Joel as well.
Right, yeah.
So if you and I went out together and people came up to us and said, you look like Billy Joel, we could decide who's going to be the jerk and who's going to be the good guy.
Yeah, we should when he comes to Wrigley Field this year.
A lot of laughs.
It's nothing but fun hanging out outside the ballpark. People wonder, why is the headliner of the show hanging out at the Cubby Bear?
Selling tickets.
Right. But you get Denzel all the time.
Do
you get Denzel
as
well?
I do not get Denzel. Okay. Steve gets Denzel all the time.
Scarlett Johansson's calling me all day yesterday. I'm homesick. I'm going, what?
Trying to get some sleep.
ScarJo, what?
Here's the reason why. Because yesterday she officially filed for divorce.
Oh, of course.
Steve. Apparently she's available to you now.
Yeah, and I said, you want to get with this?
Get in line.
Yeah.
Get in line. She filed the papers against her still husband, soon-to-be ex-husband, Romain Duriac.
I love his lettuce.
They've been married for a couple of years. They have a 2-year-old daughter who you could get germs from, Steve. You could also get some germs. He is a French journalist. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is a journalist from France, is what I meant to say.
Yes, yes.
And he would like to move back to France with the daughter. So apparently,
ooh, that's tough.
Apparently, there's going to be an ugly custody battle.
Mm.
Was there any comment from him?
Yes, he said, ho, 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 ho. That was all he had to say.
That's important.
I would like to talk about my daughter, but at the moment, I am eating a croissant.
You can't go back to France. You can't take the kid back to France.
It's happened many times.
That's no good. What's going on with Scarlett Johansson? She came out last week. She said monogamy doesn't work.
Yeah, it's not into monogamy.
Does that mean she was cheated on or he was cheated on?
I don't know.
Well, she's calling you all day yesterday. That's got to be a clue.
Well, she's single now.
I just really don't want to be part of this lawsuit.
Could be Match Point all over again.
That's a good movie.
Oh, it is a good movie, right?
Good movie. Totally.
That'd be better if Ryan Gosling was in it.
Yeah, dreamy. That's how we all feel. Dean, you've done fine work here, but there's nothing more you can do.
I don't have one more word to say.
All right. Happy International Women's Day.
Same to you, sweetheart.
See you. Bye-bye. 8:32, big story next, 720 WGN.
Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with the Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
Our friends at MB Financial Bank bring you Breakfast of the Blackhawk and our pal Brian Campbell. 1 point, buddy. 1 point behind the Minnesota Wild. You got them right where you want them. You know what I'm saying, Brian? You got them right where you want them.
Yeah. You know, I think we're, I think more than anything we're worried about how we're playing, but you definitely keep an eye on the other scores, and you see that last night. So they got a game in hand still, but we're playing good hockey, so that's the main thing.
What's the hardest building to play in on the road? You guys got a good road record, but what's the toughest building to play in?
I'm sure it's different for every guy. I think, you know, I think now the buildings are so modern, most of them, and, you know, it's mostly the same. You know, San Jose is a fun building to play in. I think you look at more of that with the crowd and the atmosphere. So I wouldn't say back in the day, you know, some, you know, like, oh, man, that building was so hard to play in. But now all the rinks are pretty new, and every ice sheet's the same. So it's I'm sure it varies for different guys.
And but also the Blackhawk fans are everywhere, right? So you get cheered. You know, it's not like that you're going somewhere where there's no Hawks fans.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like every game almost is a home game for us. Compared to, you know, when I was in Florida, every game was a road game a lot of times. So, you know, it's pretty nice to see all the fans, even though I know people in Nashville, they're trying to keep them out. But it's nice to see that they travel.
Brian, best stretch of the season by far here. What do you attribute that to? And people get worried, or the pundits will say, maybe they're peaking too soon. Is that a thing?
Well, yeah, you can say that if you want, but at least we know what our expectations are with our team and how we can play at least now. You know, you got to play your best hockey at some point, and you know, I feel like we can turn it up, and you know, I think Joel kind of asked us to turn it up, so we got it going a bit more and started playing better, and you know, I think we're still trying to obviously catch Minnesota and get ready for the playoffs here down the stretch, so I like it. I like that we're showing this, and guys are stepping up, different guys, and we kind of, you know, feel a little bit more comfortable. I think everybody does in their roles, and it's been good.
The Ducks are coming in tomorrow night. This is used to be, and recently, like in the past couple of years, used to be a really heated rivalry. Is it still that?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're definitely one of the better teams in the West, and you know, I think when you play them in playoffs, it kind of builds that over the years. So they won a big game last night, and I think they won or they lost in overtime, one of the two. But, you know, it's important for us to play good against these teams. We still have two games left against Anaheim. So anytime when you're playing a team that you played in the playoffs in the past, it's always a little bit of a rivalry.
Do you know how many games in a row you've won on the road?
I think it's, I don't know, eight or something. I'm not 100% sure, but I know it's a record for the Blackhawks.
It is eight in a row. Can you remember the last time you lost on the road?
Unfortunately, yes. I think it was in San Jose.
And Anaheim did win last night, 4-3. So you were right.
Yeah.
Is this?
Yeah.
A
so I think we. Go ahead, Mark.
No, I was just going to say, like, is this a thing, playing on the road? Do you enjoy it more?
I don't think you enjoy it more, but it's definitely you're closer to a little bit closer together. You spend the whole day together. I think good teams find ways to win on the road, and yeah, I don't know. It's just it's comforting. It's fun. It's fun being around the guys the whole day, and I just feel it's a sign of a good team if they can win on the road and have success on the road. It's definitely a sign. So, you know, we're going to have some more road games coming up here, heading out next week for a little trip. So it's important for us to do some great things on the road.
You guys are awesome on the road. Is there a stadium on the road that bugs you the most?
Well, it's kind of like the building question, right? The one that he hates?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, as we said, our fans travel so well. So yeah. In warm-up, we go out there, and they're three, four, five, six rows deep in warm-up. So we're pretty
well represented,
spoiled that way.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's you know, for us to come out, and you know, I know in Nashville we're a little tired back-to-back game, and you come out and you see the fans, and you're like, okay, we want to put on a good show and win this game for these fans that have traveled or are from Nashville area. So you know, definitely it helps us, that's for sure.
So the road picture is what, like, do you guys all go to lunch together, or do you have to buddy up? How does that work?
In the morning we have a breakfast, and then we usually have a morning skate, and then there's a lunch back at the hotel for everybody. So we all go back and have lunch, joke around a little bit, have a little time to yourself, a little rest, and then get back ready to go again. I think it's just, there's no, your routine is so the same all the time, but there's no distractions. It's not like you're going home for your nap and you have kids running around and
right.
wanting to play or anything like that. It's you know, we're away from all that. So, you know, that's the benefit of it.
But if you and Panarin wanted to go out to, you know, get soup and a sandwich, could you do that or you got to stay at the hotel?
There's soup at the hotel, so we just have it there.
By the way, it was funny. When I was at the game, you knew that the contest was have a fan name as many soups as possible. And I think she named three, and I think you named like 10 soups. Just boom, boom, boom.
Well, he's old. He's old now.
Well, he knows the soups.
No, Campbell's older. You know, old guys, they know soup.
And I think you went split pea and ham. Blech.
Yeah. See? I'm not going to eat that either.
No.
I'm not going to eat that.
I have very narrow soup taste as well. So I heard about these soup and a sandwich shirts. Can you still get them? Because people want to know how to get them.
I'm sure you can. I think you can still get them. I'm not sure, but I know they're raising money for the, I think it's for the soup kitchen. And I'm sure you can get them on the Blackhawks website. I have to actually go on and get one for myself because I haven't gotten one yet. But I know my mother-in-law went and bought one online the other day. So Blackhawks website, you'll be able to find them.
Okay. And if Brian Campbell's paying for him and his mother-in-law's paying for him, you know it's charitable, so the rest of us can pay for him as well.
Maybe we can buy Brian one.
Yeah, you need some money, dude. I could float you.
No, I just gotta get online and get one. That's
no, I mean,
problem.
If you need, listen, it's nothing to be ashamed of. You need a loan, let me know.
They're putting them on eBay, too.
Please.
They are.
Please get me one, then.
All right. I got you for an adult large.
Yeah, actually, I'll take two, Steve.
Okay, sure, whatever, man. Soup and a sandwich, the shirt. I'll drop them off at the UC. I'm sorry, Steve, why are you here? I'm bringing Brian clothes. What? And we're still waiting to see if Soup and a Sandwich is picked up. You know what I heard? I heard Netflix and Hulu are fighting over it.
Oh, no.
And Bezos from Amazon wants a piece of this, too.
And Oscar buzz.
So there's a lot of talk. It's great that you guys are rolling, but keep it going. It's the Ducks in town tomorrow night. It's our friend Brian Campbell. And, of course, anytime you're on, we have a question from a listener, this time from Kelly Piper. And she'd like to know, how many times in your time with the Blackhawk, how many times have you seen Coach Q smile?
Quite a few, I think. You know, every time we win a game, you come down the hallway, he's smiling. So I think the fans kind of get like he's a pretty, you know, he likes to have, you know, enjoy his time and have fun. So I think that, you know, the face you see behind the bench, obviously, what are you going to smile about? You know, you're happy, you're excited, but you're not smiling. As, you know, I think it's fans get a little different view of him that way compared to you know, the way he is off the ice and behind the scenes. So,
yeah, and he laughs a lot. He laughs, you know, on this show.
Yeah. Do you have a tough time getting him to laugh?
Not normally, no. Normally I get him to laugh quite a bit. No. You know, and he's got that creepy monster movie laugh.
Quite a bit might be a stretch. Maybe a few times.
No, he loves me. So, yeah, there's your answer for Kelly Piper, and Kelly's going to get what is she getting? She got autographed puck? Is that what you're doing? Autographed puck? Is that the plan?
Yep.
Yeah, an autographed puck for Kelly Piper. Soup, you're great as always, man. Have fun tomorrow night.
Okay, thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, buddy. That's Brian Campbell from your Chicago Blackhawks.
Love that guy.
But, you know, I mean, he is, a lot of people don't know this, he's 69 now. He's 69 he's years not. Old. So he loves, he loves soup. How many soups can you name?
I can name quite a few, I think. He was ripping, he was naming those soups like crazy. Chicken, chicken noodle, chicken dumpling, chicken stars.
Lentil.
Vegetable beef.
Lentil? Who goes lentil that early? Where does lentil come from?
I'm into a good legume.
Lentil?
Situation, Steve.
You should give up lentil for Lent.
Man, you're weird. You are just so...
Traffic time. Here's Susan.
What's wrong with a lentil soup?
So weird.
Everything.
I like lentil.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Woo! Woo!
Ow!
Love that money.
Money. 9:12 now. Elise Glenk will join us in just a second. Let's talk some money. And later this hour, Brent Sopel is doing Dancing with the Chicago Stars for charity. You know, they've asked me to do that several times, and I don't listen. It's like when the gymnasts do it on Dancing with the Stars. Mm-hmm. It's like, if I do it, I'm going to win.
Well, you love the Paso Doble and the tango.
I am the Paso Doble. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Those are your dances.
Yeah. So I want to give other people a chance. That's why I have chosen not to do it. So
it's generous.
Let's go to Elise now. We can talk money about any time, anything. It's all about the money. What do you mean millennials are buying houses?
You know, this is the moment that real estate agents across the country have been waiting for. Millennials are stepping up, and they're actually starting to buy homes. Now, granted, it's about 7 years later than other generations started to buy homes, but at least they're starting.
The fact that they have money to buy houses strikes me as interesting. Is that a testament to a better economy?
Yes, we are seeing a better economy. We are seeing, it's interesting, millennials were born in 1980 to 1998, so 19 years is the youngest age to about 27. The average age of first-time buyers... 1980 to 2008.
Got it.
That is the younger generation. But the older millennials, the Gen Xers, they're struggling with student loans. They are finally starting to overcome some of that, and the job market is helping them.
So how does this compare to a generation ago? I mean, 25 years ago, who was buying homes? Millennial, not millennials, but Gen Xers, more or less same?
Well, what you're saying is that the millennials are now accounting for about 30, according to the National Association of Realtor Home Buyer and Seller Generational Trends Report that just came out yesterday. Millennials are now accounting for about 34% of the home buying market. And so when you look at the way that they have broken up the different groups of buyers, you've got millennials, you've got Gen X, which is the ones that are a little bit older than that. Then you've got what they call younger boomers and older boomers. So we're used to thinking about the baby boomers in one big block that were born in, say, 1946 to 1964. But what the realtors have done and what they've seen in the report is that if you break that right in half, the younger boomers who were born in 1955 to 1964, they're buying multi-generational homes for adult children and aging parents. And the older boomers, who are 1946 to 1954, they are actually buying, if they're buying, they're trading down and they're starting to look at the 55-plus housing.
I'm trying to think how old I was when I bought my first house. It would have been 1988. So what was I, 26? Yeah, 26.
And I was 25.
So you're 25, I'm 26. So how does that compare to now?
Well, you've lost basically 10 years. So if you're looking at people who are buying at 34 and 35, this is the eldest of the millennials.
But it makes total sense, right? 2007 collapsed.
It does, right. Their generation, actually, the report found that the Gen Xers, who are even younger, they're the ones who are hit more by the housing crisis. But the older millennials, they're the ones who are now starting to kind of get their acts together. They're later to do everything. They're later to buy houses, later to move out of their parents' house,
right,
later to rent homes, and later to have children. And so the millennials who are now in their 30s are the ones who are having children, and typically they have one child, and they're starting to move to the suburbs. And it's just really the shift, the time shift, is just striking.
What's student loan debt doing to this story?
Delaying everything. So Gen Xers have the most student loan debt. They average about $30,000. And if you think about that, you know, you've got people who are as old as 50 years old this year. That would be about the oldest of the Gen Xers, 50, 51. They actually have more student debt than the millennials, who typically have about $25,000 apiece, and the Gen Xers have $30,000. But what was interesting about the study is that everybody's got student debt. So even baby boomers, the oldest of the baby boomers, they have some sort of student loans, are averaging about $10,000. And mostly those are the parent plus loans the parents take out to help
sure.
their children, or in some cases their grandchildren go to college.
So this is really the next bubble, right? I mean, we've been talking about this bubble for 3 or 4 or 5 years. Is this going to pop?
The student loan bubble?
Yeah, yeah.
I think it could. It's going to depend on what happens in the Trump administration and how they start to deal with the Department of Education, which, of course, is, you know, nerve-wracking.
Right.
But if, you know, if student loan debts are really not dischargeable in bankruptcy, and there are people who just will never be able to afford to pay them back, you have to have some sort of day of reckoning. And so what the Obama administration had done is they introduced a bunch of programs where you go to work for a school or a certain kind of a nonprofit, and each year a certain portion of your student loans was knocked off. And so after 10 or 15 years, you could have basically the government help you pay those student loans back. If those programs get cut, it'll be very seriously a serious problem for younger buyers who want to go out and buy a home and start their own families.
Speaking of buying homes, Elise, you wrote a great article this week, but what caught my eye was the headline, "Will we see a housing crash in 2017, later in the year possibly, or is that just completely out of the question at this point?
You know, I think we could see some pockets where we're going to see prices start to come down. The real question is what's going to happen to interest rates. So this is kind of interesting. There's been a move in the bond market over the last couple of weeks to almost a for sure that Yellen's going to raise interest rates. I think it's next week is the meeting. But how much is she going to raise interest rates? There's talk about a jump of a half a percentage point, which doesn't sound like much, but we haven't had a jump that big in a long time, with the idea being she wants to shock the stock market, which has just sort of gone off the deep end here. I mean, hey, I love my IRA and everything, but it seems a little scary at this point. But there's also talk that by the end of the year, it could go up 0.75 percentage point. That would push a lot of housing firmly out of affordability range for a lot of these younger buyers. So if you have more houses for sale but fewer people can afford to buy them, that's when housing prices start to come down. And I think that's the concern that's going on out there. What's going to happen with interest rates? How will that change the calculus?
So what do you expect? Do you expect her to hit it for a half point?
I think she could. I absolutely think she could. I think there's a concern that everything in the stock market is way out of whack. But here's one story that I saw this morning, and this is kind of an interesting theory. You could have the stock market continue to go up as interest rates go up, which is completely not what normally happens. But I guess we're in that kind of a magical era now where almost anything can happen.
So if it goes up a half point now, does that mean they're done for the year? Would we see like a 75 basis points before the year's over?
I think we're going to continue to see her raise interest rates, especially if the indications are as they are, that the economy is doing very, very well, and that more people have, you know, there's this mythology that there are 40 million people unemployed is not really how the employment survey has been counted for like 50 years. So having, you know, very low unemployment relative to where we were 10 years ago, it's a little unclear how all of the economic impact is going to change that, and somehow magically more people are going to get jobs. So I think she's watching those numbers and seeing a pretty strong economy. She talks about it being a strong economy, and that's when you would start to raise interest rates.
And what does that mean for the seller versus buyer's market between now and the end of the year?
Well, if you want to sell in a hot market, sell now. And by the way, the realtors would love for you to sell because there's nothing for their buyers to buy.
Right.
So if you're thinking about selling, sooner is better than later. We're just getting into the heat of the market. This is when, you know, March, April, May, you see the big swings for the spring. It's still the strongest time to buy or sell a house. And so the realtors are like, please, if you're thinking about selling, sell now. But what that will do later on in the year, it's a little bit unclear.
So if you're an investor selling now, if you don't sell now, do you think you're missing an opportunity? 3 years from now, it could be a significant drop?
I don't think so. If they're right about millennials finally starting to buy, the oldest of the millennials are maybe 37 right now, 36, 37. So if they're starting to buy, you've got all these other millennials coming up behind them who are in their late 20s, who are now going to start to get serious about paying down their debt, move out of their parents' houses into rental units, and then by the time they're 35, married with a kid on the way, they're also going to be buying. So you might get into a place where for the next 5 to 7 years, you could have a super strong seller's market where there are more people buying than sellers selling. The trick is what happens when interest rates expire, if people decide they can't afford their homes anymore, or if we have a major recession, and I really can't predict that. There are too many things up in the air with the Trump administration to understand how it's all going to play. Like, look at what happened with healthcare today. You know, the new healthcare plan, you know, I think even the Republicans don't like it. So it's unclear how that would affect people's ability to pay for housing when they're busy selling their iPhones to pay for health insurance.
Yeah, that was not a smart thing to say by Mr. Chaffetz, but he's one of the worst. Mark Carman, you're a slumlord, right? That's why you were asking? You've got a few buildings, or what's your deal?
Yes, I have a couple of situations that I
am. You partner in a couple of rental facilities?
Well, when I worked in Kansas City, that was in the 2009 era, when everything was super cheap. So I have a couple things down there that I've never gotten rid of, and it's like the market's super high right now, but I don't know. I don't know.
Elise is smart. She said sell it right now.
That's not what she said.
It's interesting. So multifamily units, how big are your buildings?
They're single-family homes.
Single-family, okay.
You got two of them?
I have four.
Four.
Four of them, okay. Well, if you're making money with them, you'll probably continue to make money with them because your interest rate that you locked in is probably pretty low, and you've probably got rent coming in that more than covers, you know, all the expenses and so on. So you've done really well with those houses. And if you sell because they're investment properties, you're going to have to do a 1031 exchange, or you're going to have to pay tax on it. So then you're in the situation where you have to figure out what to buy if you sell. And a lot of other people aren't going to be in that situation. But the multifamily people who have been buying bigger buildings, maybe with 20 units or 30 units or 10 units, they're going to be in trouble because if interest rates go up, their loans are typically not 30-year or 15-year. Their loans are typically 5 years. And so those loans come due, and then you have to refinance your property at a higher interest rate. And then that means you have to charge more in rent. And so that's an interesting bubble. And one report I read yesterday said that on the West Coast, you're starting to see the prices for multifamily buildings start to come down a little bit as interest rates creep up. So that's where you start to see prices really change.
So the bottom line here is, Mark, if anyone listening would like to overpay for a home in Kansas City,
I'm done. I'm in.
Please contact Mark here because he's willing to take more than market value.
Well, and I think like what Elise is saying is that I should buy like a 3-flat here, live in one of them, and creep on the people below me. I think that's what.
Absolutely. Make them do the garbage take.
Oh, how can I apply? Ooh, let me sign that lease.
Sounds like a bad movie on AMC. Elise, thank you. Feel better. ThinkLink.com.
You bet. Thanks.
All right, back after this on 720 WGN. So part of the problem, Carms, that Mark Carman's here for Dave Ennett this week, that I think, you know, you've got, you know, houses you need to sell and different things is because your personal life is like such a train wreck. So what's your dating situation
it's
now?
It's so eloquent the way you put that, Steve. It's just so spot on.
Getting to the chase.
Yeah. I'm out there. Steve, I'm doing the best I can to introduce myself to...
Do we understand why Carm's single? I mean, he's a good-looking dude.
And he's nice. He's fun.
Nice guy.
He's cool.
What dark side do you have that's keeping you from you know, being married with a family?
I'm an avoider. I'm a runner. Conflict comes up. I sprint.
Eats lentil soup.
Are you a runaway groom?
No, I haven't done that yet. I've never actually.
What's the longest relationship you've ever had?
About a 4-year situational.
How long ago was that?
Coming up on 2 years come August.
You left or she left?
She left.
So you would have stayed with that one?
Yes.
What was the reason that broke up?
I think that...
No, it's not you think. You know. What was the reason I broke up?
Intimacy issues? God,
I love talking to Steve Cochran. This is great.
No, it's therapeutic, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I did not address the issues that were going on in the relationship.
Give me an example. Like, what was one of the issues?
Well, it would be... Thank you. Thank you, Mike.
I don't actually hear any music.
One of the issues... Well, she had anger issues, Steve, but I think I look at that differently now. I think that she was just expressing, and I was afraid if somebody would express to that level.
But she got physical?
No, never.
But she would fight a lot.
Hey, you know what? It's International Women's Day. We can have anger issues.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Thanks.
Better to be...
As you guys back away.
Better to express than to be a passive aggressive.
But she would fight a lot. Is that what you're saying?
That would be me.
She was impossible, is what you're saying. She was impossible, and that's why it had to end.
I didn't say any of that.
All right. Oh, look. What are you looking for? Who's the perfect woman to you?
Well.
Attainable.
I mean, you want to have a family, right?
Sure.
By the way, yes. The perfect woman can't be anyone that says yes.
Right. Or Scarlett Johansson.
Yes.
Let's see. Andrea.
Oh, thank you, Mark.
Right.
Perfect woman?
I mean, I think Scarlett Johansson's an interesting situation right now.
All right, let's. This is like a guy that goes in. This is like me going in to get a haircut, and I bring in, like, you know, a fro. So, what am I, a miracle worker? No. What? Perfect. They're like, what? You know, under 40, over 40?
Give me over 30, under 40. Okay. Can appreciate Northwestern basketball.
Does she have kids?
Go Cats.
Probably not, no. No kids.
Okay, that's a deal breaker?
Yeah. Yeah,
there's a lot of women in their 30s. A lot of single moms are great women.
Yeah, I know there are. I know there are, Steve, but that requires a very mature man who's ready to step into dadhood.
So your selfishness and narcissism are really a problem.
That's correct.
Okay.
Way to name that one well.
Okay.
What else we got?
All right, so over 30.
This is
enjoys what? Sports. You got to like sports.
Sports is big. Ideally a tennis player, somebody who can hit the forehand and the backhand.
Somebody you could hit balls with?
Yep. You know, like, you know, traveling's always preferable. I like somebody with a growth mindset, Steve.
Do you want to have a family?
I do.
Okay, do you want to have kids?
I do.
What if she has a dog or a cat?
Can have a dog, can't have a cat, allergic. I'd rather you had a kid than a cat.
Oh, my God.
Cat would be the worst.
All right, so no single moms, no cat owners.
Yeah.
Hot, willing to travel, and in their 30s.
And likes basketball.
And loves sports.
Doesn't necessarily need to be hot, but good looking.
Let's bring her in right now.
Scarlett Johansson. Oh, wait.
9:33. We're back in a moment on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I'm in the window here on Michigan Avenue, shaking it for the people walking by. Watch this move here. I think I pulled something.
Wow.
Why are they running?
Brent Sopel's here, and he's doing Dancing with the Chicago Stars. Carms, can you dance?
No.
So let's review. You like lentil soup.
Yep.
You have a very narrow dating vision.
I'd like to personally thank the one texter who likes lentil soup and took the time to text in about it. Thank you.
I agree with Jake, who said off the air, is it any wonder he's not dating anyone?
Right.
Come on.
I don't really know if Jake can be talking a whole lot, but we can.
Oh,
that's not nice of Jake. I expect support from a guy, my guy back there. Just nothing.
Defend himself.
Brent Sobel's here, and Brent is in Dancing with the Chicago Stars, Dancing with Chicago Celebrities, and Jill DeMarlo as well. Hi, Jill.
Good morning.
How are you?
Great.
Owner of the Chicagoland Arthur Murray Dance Centers and founder and coach here. How many years you've done this in?
This is our 12th year.
And I think, didn't Jarrett Payton win last year?
He did.
He's one of our own.
Yeah. Yeah.
He did very well.
Mm-hmm.
Could he dance when he came in?
He could do a little, for sure. But you know, these athletes, they know how to get out there and do it.
They know how to move, yeah. But they don't know where to move.
No. So you can't specify the athletes. See, football players, they can celebrate. They all got their dances. You don't see us doing that on the ice.
No.
But what, did you have a goal celebration?
Yeah, get off the ice.
That's great.
Q's like, all right, he's enough. Let's go. Come on, sit down right beside me. Be the grocery stick.
All right, so when you agreed to do this, were you scared?
Absolutely. Fearful.
Yeah, and it's as physically fit as you've always had to be. This is a workout, too, isn't it?
Yeah, big time. I think the email back was, I got two left feet and white man don't dance. I think that was my email back when they asked me. So.
And I said, perfect.
Now, how do you feel it's been going?
It's been really good. You know, my partner, obviously she's been outstanding. She's been cracking the whip, trying to get me not stepping on my feet and tripping over myself. But
does she speak Canadian?
It's Comerican.
Comerican.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So I got her. Sorry. I've got her. You know, we had to sit down. We did, you know, some Comerican classes and then some dance classes. So it's been very good.
And are you impressed with yourself at this point? I mean, how far you've come?
I'm never impressed with myself. I look at myself every mirror and go, damn, that's a face a mother can love.
What? How do you get better? Do you look at video?
Yeah, you know, for myself, you have to. You know, there's mirrors on the wall, and she's telling you to do this. I'm like, well, you're speaking Chinese to me, or so. You know, we videotape just about every session, and
right.
You know, we take a look at it and watch it. And yesterday, I got a review text message from her and tell me what I was doing wrong. So
right.
I had to review that many, many times.
Well, it's funny. Do you know what dance you're going to be doing for the big show?
Yeah, I'm going to be doing a tango.
Oh, that's the sexy dance.
Wow.
That's what you have to come out and see.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
All right, Jill, so this is Friday night?
It is Friday night at the Hilton.
And are there still tickets available?
Of course. We can fit you in.
All right. So what do people need to do to contribute?
They can donate towards their favorite celebrity if they'd like, or they can go online. You can go to ChicagoArthurMurray.com or Dancing with Chicago Celebrities and donate or buy tickets.
The more we donate, will that influence the judges in any way?
Once you're there, you can pay to,
Yeah.
And then Manfredini did this too. Remember that?
He was great.
Was he?
Yeah. He's a good dancer.
Yeah, he did, the whole swing. He did the whole tool belt thing.
Like the Village People.
Yeah. Start hearing that music, you know you're in trouble. So how many studios are there?
Arthur Murray Studios, there's 8 in Chicago, and there's 280 in 23 countries.
Wow. So when you see people come in, what are they trying to do? This special occasion, learn to dance, or just couples bonding?
I think it's pretty much everything. You know, the greatest thing is people spending quality time or doing it for their own unique reasons. Build confidence, all that.
How many dads come in for the daddy-daughter dance at the wedding?
A lot.
Yeah, and they just want to get it right, right? They don't want to embarrass their daughter.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I think it's a moment. You know, now it's a moment that's going to be captured for a long time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Brett, I just have a question for you. You're an incredible athlete. What was the hardest part for you of dancing? Like keeping your stance or your toes pointed? I mean, what's the hardest?
Starting posture. The middle part and the end.
Let's go. My posture sucks. Okay. My strides suck. My fingers are open. My fingers aren't closed. My elbow's not high enough. You're in the wrong position on my back. Should I keep going?
I think you're
going to
do great.
What is your partner's name?
Ellen.
Ellen. At any point, did you grab her like a hockey stick? Was that something more familiar?
Yeah, there's many times I looked at her, cross-eyed and said, you know, I'd like to do to you right now, but I'm going to walk away.
You shouldn't check your partner into the wall. Yeah, yes,
exactly.
Yes, that's right.
She said, okay.
Let's take a break, come back. Sandberg said she's going to actually have these guys do something in the studio.
Oh, cool.
Wow. Is there a dance you guys could do?
You're
not his traditional partner.
I'm not.
No. My partner's probably sleeping. She's not a morning person. I got to drag her out of bed just to trip. I get up at 4:45 in the morning to get my day started. My day's half done before she rolls out of bed.
Yeah. I'll tell you what we'll do. Mark, we'll spot the purple as well. But Mark, when you hear the roar, but Mark, you'll do the play-by-play when they dance.
Great.
So. I think Mark should dance.
Yeah,
I think he's got a dancing body.
Steve Shulman.
And the purple, too.
Are you next?
And the purple.
Are you next for us?
Sure.
Yeah.
13th annual.
Would love to be there for the 13th annual.
Hey, by the way, Carms and I were talking about this off the air. Brent Sopel wrote a piece for the Players Tribune about being sober, which I thought was very cool. Very cool, very inspirational. And you said you wanted to do it for other people. So I salute your journey, and I'm proud of you, man.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Good for you. Stay the course. It's 9:49. We'll come back, and there'll be some dancing. Stand by for that on 720 WGN. I can see but you when you Charlene from Chicago is your winner. She saw Mark Carman wearing his Northwestern gear, which means she wins Northwestern gear. You're watching CLTV in the 9 o'clock hour and the 3 o'clock hour with Ro and Anna. And thank you for doing that. We appreciate it. Back live in studio here in the Allstate Showcase studio. And Mark Carman, you're going to do the play-by-play here.
I'm ready.
Standing,
go, Jill. Lead the way.
Standing by, Brent Sopel and Jill DeMarlo, who will dance now on CLTV as Mark does the call for the radio audience. They've been working on this for over 45 seconds, so we know they've got it down. All right, whenever you're ready.
Well, this is a beautiful dance. What we're seeing right now is a great form by Brent. Always. Jill with a nice spin. Good leading by Brent right now. I think, they're in an intimate position. And now we've got a good spin around. Solid spin. There we go. Oh, good switch hands. Solid.
Intimate position. That dip was tremendous.
Now back.
That dip was very good. Yeah, not your first time. How about a hand for
way
these
to go.
Guys? It was great really job. Well done. Plus, you were camera center. You did really well done. Nicely done, Jill. You look fantastic.
Posture was very good. Posture was great, too.
And Brent, nicely done.
Mary, it's all about the shoes, right?
That's right.
Now, you get a muscled-up dude like Brent. Is that more fun to dance with somebody like that, or you prefer somebody doughy like Carmen?
I think when they're muscled
like
up,
Bambi,
you feel
not
safer,
bread.
Right? You feel well, safer, they're not going to drop you.
Right. So from a female perspective, the muscled up is good.
Yeah. All, well, isn't it always?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, Carmen. Jill, come on, yeah. Carbs.
No, Carmen, well, I'm kidding. It's that,
it's, come on, just more lentil soup is all you need.
I'm hurt, but I'm also joyful at the same time here.
Yes.
Thanks.
Because you're going to dance next year, right?
Yes. I am, Jill. I'm
That's
in.
That's why you're joyful. Yes.
That's yeah. right.
He'll be great.
I really will.
12th annual Dancing with Chicago Celebrities event. It's Friday, March 10th, this Friday at the Hilton Chicago. 100% volunteer organization.
Mm-hmm.
And every celebrity, do they pick their charities or do you assign charities?
No. Dancing with Chicago Celebrities is its own charity.
Okay.
And we're
so you're like a foundation.
Yeah. We're giving directly to those organizations on the front lines of fighting breast cancer.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Good for you. Especially on International Women's Day, right?
Absolutely.
This event, a celebrity dance-off, will be like an elimination tournament or how does it work?
All nine celebrities are going to dance their number and then we will choose a dance-off winner and an MVP winner.
Who are some of the other celebrities?
Jason Davis, formerly a Bear. And then we have from Fox, we have Jenny Milkowski. We have people from ABC, NBC, Peggy Kaczynski from NBC.
Wow. Oh, we love Peg.
Yeah, she's great.
You have any other radio people?
No.
Yeah, well, you know why? Because you asked me, and I couldn't do it this year because I didn't want everyone else to lose. Yeah.
I understand.
Your
schedule's,
you're that busy. Everybody wants a piece of you.
Totally.
That's right.
Actually, I can do it if we do it at 11 a.m. prime dancing time. And Jared Payton will be there to be a celebrity judge this year.
Be.
You know, Lou
so
did this
will
in the
Rick
past.
Bayless. It'll be
cool.
Fun. He's dancing to show number two. He won the very first year.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Wow, excellent. Well, congrats on all the success with this. It's really turned into a thing. And happy International Women's Day.
Thank you very much.
Yes. To donate or purchase tickets for the event, go to dancingwithchicagocelebrities.org. It's dancingwithchicagocelebrities.org. And Brent Sopel, who helps us out on the air all the time. We see you doing a lot of TV. You're doing great, man.
Oh, I appreciate it. Lead by you.
Don't follow my lead. But great seeing you again, buddy.
Good seeing you. Thanks for having
us. All right.
Good
Couple luck, of Brent. Minutes for 10. We're back with Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN.